Hi, I'm Carter. I'm 12 years old, and you're listening to Kids Commute from Interlochen Public Radio.
Thank you, Carter. And by the way, that was Carter, his very own self, playing our Kids Commute theme on his recorder. If you'd like to be featured on our show playing the theme on whatever instrument you play, you can find instructions and sheet music at our website, kidscommute.org. Well now, kids commuters, welcome to week 3 of the IPR Kids Commute Summer Listening Program. We'll have a Quizlet for you at the end of the show. Today on Kids Commute, 4 notes that shook the world. Do you know those notes? You might very well know those notes, and we'll find out all about where they came from this week in our Summer Listening Program. First things first. Those notes were written by Ludwig von Beethoven, who was born in Bonn, Germany, in December of the year 1770. He first started learning music from his dad, and his dad wanted Beethoven to be a big, famous prodigy, which is a young child star, like Mozart. So he had him give his first public concert at age 7, although his dad said young Ludwig was only 6, to make it sound more impressive. By the time Beethoven was 12, he was a composition student with a church organist, and so talented he got to fill in when his teacher was on vacation. And with the help of that teacher, he published his first book of piano music at age 13. Here's a little bit of one of his first pieces. These are Variations on a March by Dressler. When Beethoven was 17, he went to Vienna looking to study with Mozart, since he'd heard so much about him growing up. And he did meet Mozart. He played for him, and at first he played something he had studied, and Mozart was bored with it. He said, "Nah, it sounds like you studied that too hard." And Beethoven said, wait, let me play you something else. So he improvised. He just made something up. And that impressed Mozart, who, according to a biographer, turned around to the other people in the room and said, "Mark that young man, he will make himself a name in the world." By the way, I heard an alternate version of that story where theoretically Mozart yelled into the next room to his wife Constanza, "Hey Stanzi, this kid's going places!" Which I'm sure is exactly how he said it. But however he said it, he was impressed. Here's the thing, though. Beethoven played for Mozart, who was impressed with his work and he was interested in taking him on as a student. But then Beethoven's mother got sick, and he had to go home. And he wasn't able to return to Vienna for 5 years until he was 22. But by then it was too late to study with Mozart because Mozart had died. Now, Beethoven's longtime friend, Count Waldstein, told him it would be okay, though, because, and this is a quote from a letter, "through uninterrupted diligence, you will receive Mozart's spirit through Haydn's hands." And what he means is work hard and go study with Haydn. So he studied with Haydn, Franz Joseph Haydn, another huge composer of the time, probably the most famous composer of the time, known as the father of the symphony and the string quartet. So he did work with Haydn for a while. Beethoven's first and second symphonies came out in 1800 and 1803, and he was already being compared to Mozart and Haydn, his idols. And he really started to make it big around age 25 with 4 symphonies, string quartets, a lot more music under his belt. Let's hear a little snippet from Beethoven's first symphony. Now, about those 4 notes, let's hear them again. Those are the first 4 notes of his 5th symphony, which premiered in the year 1808 at a huge concert at a theater in Vienna, consisting entirely of Beethoven premieres. So this was kind of less than ideal conditions, and here's why. Imagine that this is a program with a bunch of other Beethoven stuff on it. 2 symphonies and some choral music and a piano concerto he played himself, and he conducted the whole thing. There was so much music that the concert took 4 hours, and Symphony No. 5 got a little lost in the shuffle. The critics didn't quite catch on to how awesome it was until E.T.A. Hoffman wrote about it. If the name E.T.A. Hoffman sounds familiar to you, it's because not only was Hoffman a well-respected critic and music writer, he was also a fiction author. One of his short stories was used by Tchaikovsky for The Nutcracker, for instance. Hoffman described the symphony as one of the most important works of the time, and he said that somehow he got a sense from the music of the realm of the infinite, which is like an idea of heaven opening up with all this incredible music in it. Let's learn more about this famous fifth with its iconic opening. As a reminder, here are the first four notes. So now you know those, and you know who wrote them, which means you'll get this musical joke. Here to help us out and tell that joke is our young friend Brooklyn. Hi, Brooklyn.
Hi.
Tell us a joke.
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit?
I don't know. What?
Banana.
Thank you, Brooklyn. Now, how did he come up with those four notes? A long time after Beethoven died, his assistant, Anton Schindler, said that he was hanging out with Beethoven, and the composer referred to those first notes as, "Thus fate knocks at the door." Ever since then, we have talked about those notes as the fate motif. And we'll talk about what a motif is in a minute. Now, this story is possible, especially because by the time Beethoven wrote his Fifth Symphony, he was starting to go deaf, and he was completely deaf within a few years. So maybe he felt like he was up against fate in life, right? But the encyclopedia says Schindler was known for not letting the facts get in the way of a good story. So we don't know for sure if that's true. But it's certainly catchy, so now we call those four notes the fate motif. One of his students, Carl Czerny, said that the four notes actually came from a yellowhammer bird that he heard walking around the park in Vienna. And you know what? Here is the end of the call of the yellowhammer bird. Let's compare them for a second. Here's the bird. Here's the Beethoven. Oh, that's cool. Let's do it again. Bird. Beethoven. He might have come up with that motif just by hearing a bird, so you never know where inspiration's going to come from. So as promised, we'll talk about what's a motif. Now, first of all, before we get into this too deeply, many people pronounce the word motif, so you can go with either motif or motif, as we will hear, but either way, you're fine. A motif or a theme is a little musical idea, just a few notes that form the musical basis for what the composer's going to use throughout the music. Beethoven's Fifth is unusual because this theme is only four notes long. By the way, if you're still confused about the whole motif theme business, classical comedian genius P.D.Q. Bach made a parody recording of Beethoven's Fifth that describes the music like a sporting event. Here's his description of the motif.
There's that four-note theme again and another stop. Just cannot seem to get this off the ground. Tell me, Giff, do you think you would call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be a motif that he uses to build a theme.
Thanks for setting me straight on that, Giff.
So, okay, we can think of it that way. Now, this fate motif develops throughout the first movement. So what does that mean? If you think of music like it's a stew, then that means he's added the first four notes to the stew, the first four ingredients, and then he starts seasoning them and letting them kind of simmer for a while to develop the flavor. That means you'll probably recognize the first four ingredients, the first four notes. But as it goes, Beethoven just kind of plays with them and uses them in different ways. And then it just builds and builds with new spices and flavors and textures, and you can imagine if it's a stew, it's boiling now, and it just gets really, really exciting. this fabulous music is just based on the first four notes. The pattern of the fate motif, short, 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 long, is present in every movement of the Fifth Symphony, except for the second. And that was very unusual at the time. Here's a little bit of what the motif sounds like when it shows up in the third movement of the symphony. Notice the notes are not exactly the same, but the pattern is. And here it is visiting us again in the fourth movement of the symphony. So what we're really listening for today is the huge amount of stuff that Beethoven can do with only four notes. They're going to go up, they're going to go down, they're going to go all around. And it's really fun to listen for. See if you can find all the ways that Beethoven goes loud and soft and high and low and fast and slow and builds up anticipation in the music to make it exciting. So, starting with the four notes that shook the world, here is the first movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. Sir George Schulte conducts the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Sir George Schulte conducted the Chicago Symphony Orchestra performing the first movement of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. Hope you enjoyed that, kids commuters. It is time now for our weekly Quizlet. Answer this question for us in a text message with your name and address to area code 231-237-7482, and we will send you the Week 3 prize pack for our Kids Commute Summer Listening Program. Here with the Quizlet once more is our friend Brooklyn. Take it away, Brooklyn.
What is Beethoven's favorite fruit?
Thank you, Brooklyn. What is Beethoven's favorite fruit? If you know the answer to that question, send it to us and the prize pack is on its way to you. Hope you had fun this week on IPR's Kids Commute Summer Listening Program. We'll be back with another program next week. I'm Kate Botello.
And I'm producer Tony.
See you next time.
Interlochen Public Radio!